you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie. Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Radio. All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with someone who is new to the podcast and also new to me. You reached out and then you know, asked about coming on the show, and I gave a listen to your stuff. And I do have a lot of questions about it, but I think the best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourself and give a bit of background about what it is that you do as an artist.
Yeah, hello world. Thanks so much for having me on, Sam. I'm a fan of the production. And
thanks.
You know, I'm just a fun guy, and I'm trying to make my rounds about the music world, and I'm living here in Winnipeg, Manitoba. I'm 21 years old. And, I guess that's about it. You know, I write a song or two and I sing them to the best of my ability. And I'm just trying to get paid while I'm doing it.
Fair enough. I think it's what a lot of people are trying to do. Yeah, yeah. So maybe a better way to word that question then is, I'm going to do the question of death that everyone hates answering. But how do you define the style of music that you make? And it's so hard, especially these days, to do that with like one or two words, because everything has subgenres and it all fits in these different categories. But, you know, if you ran into someone, they heard you make music, what's sort of the quick Cole's Notes version you can give them?
Though that's a great way of doing it. And I think all the roots and branches all kind of lead back to the same place, which is gospel music for me.
Okay.
Where I started. It's what inspires me on a day-to-day basis, and it's what I probably listen to the most. Of course, the messaging kind of changes in all the different songs I write. You know, not all of them I want to play at Heaven's Gate when I get there, but most of where I started was had its roots in the church and praise music, worship music. There's a certain triumph and a certain love for the moments in these old style gospel tunes. And so that's what I originally fell in love with. And through there, you know, I found soul music and Motown records, Stax records, Chess, that whole scene. And so I guess, I don't know, to boil it down, you know, if I was really to reduce it, I really think that everything just sort of builds upon this foundation of gospel and blues. So all those sort of rootsy elements, I really take a lot of inspiration from, and I've heard it get a little country every now and then too.
I was going to say, yeah, there definitely is a country vibe in some of it. Okay, maybe that gospel thing though. I think what you're saying is you're right. I mean, gospel sort of is the it has branched off into so many different genres of music, have taken from sort of that background. You know, like you said, you know, blues, soul for sure. A lot of folk music has that kind of old time gospel thing. Country definitely does. I guess what is the appeal of that stuff to you? What sort of drew you to that in the first place? Obviously, like you said, it sounds like you have a church background. That probably helped. But, you know, what is it about that kind of music that appeals to you? Because, you know, we're in 2025. A lot of that stuff is by some people seen as older music. I don't think that's a bad thing, but a lot of people, especially younger people, might. What is the sort of staying power of that kind of stuff for you as a listener?
Absolutely. It's a feeling. It always comes back to a feeling. And I think that there's a lot of music that isn't necessarily engineered with that feeling in mind. And that's neither a good thing nor a bad thing. Just a different market.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times you're gonna switch on top 40 radio. And now I would never disrespect these individuals. They're making a lot more money than me. But there's a lot of music that's engineered without the necessity of a feeling. A lot of times there's a lot of music that is designed just to shop to have a good time throughout your day, to music. It's designed for people that don't necessarily even care about having that feeling. And I just found that when I really dug deep into the catalog of these roots artists and these sort of old time funk artists and this sort of thing, there's this indescribable feeling that's embedded in these recordings. And I can't get enough. I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm a fiend for it. And I can only do my best to recreate it stylistically and just for the purpose of my own enjoyment, you know, and to hear that other people really get down with it is just the best feeling in the world. But again, it always kind of goes back to the soul that's in some of these songs. And so when I dug deep into people like Bill Withers, Johnny Cash was big for me, Aretha Franklin, they mean every single word they say. And so, and you can tell, you can sniff it right out from the first listen, you know?
I think that's right. And I think that the feeling that you're describing, I think the easy way to describe it is just soul, right? I mean, because obviously soul music is its own genre and has tons of that feeling, but country can have soul, blues can have soul, rock can have soul. I mean, any style of music, when there's that sort of emotional connection to it. And I think it's almost where you believe the person about what they're saying, whatever it is, right? I mean, I think that's sort of the key element to having that feeling, is that when you can, like you said, you listen to them and that comes through, like whatever it is that they're trying to put across, whether you agree with it or don't agree with it, believe it, don't believe it, whatever, you can feel it, right? I mean, I'm not a religious person. I didn't grow up with any kind of religious background. I love gospel music. It's great. I mean, I get a feeling from it that's probably different from someone who does have a church background, but I still, there's a feeling there, and the people who are singing it absolutely mean what they're saying. And I think that's what appeals to it to me, because I can, there's that honesty to it, right?
Yes. It's the passion that is from somewhere within. No, you put on Espresso by Sabrina Carpenter. You know, sure, she's not talking about the creator and all this, but man, I still like to think that she means what she says. It's just comes across in a different way. Well, now I looked over Jordan. What did I see? Coming for to carry me home. It was a band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Now I'm sometimes up and I'm sometimes down, coming for to You put on an early Sam Cooke record, like his old-timey gospel kind of stuff, like pre-1957.
Yeah,
you're gonna feel a lot different in emotion. Now these people still feel their own things in their own certain way, just because the content changes. You know, there's soul in every recording. Now, some of it I do think that gets lost in the modern day production, but that's not to say that, you know, these people didn't mean what they're saying. You can find the flavor. You can find the seasoning no matter where you're looking. For me, it's those old-timey root styles. You know, it's the blues. It's country. It's soul. It's funk.
yeah,
folk, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's right up my alley.
That's cool. Yeah, yeah, right on. It's cool to hear you mention Sam Cooke too, because I mean, that's a guy for sure. I mean, he was with the Soul Stirrers doing the gospel stuff, and then awesome. and then he became a pop star. But even his pop stuff, like you said, that feeling is there, right? Even if he's singing the most lighthearted, you know, non-topical pop song about loving some girl, that's still there. There's an undercurrent of that feeling. And so, I mean, I don't want to talk about Sam Cooke all day. I could. I love him. He's one of my favorite artists. But we're talking about you and talking about what you do. How do you fit then into the local music scene with, obviously, your music leans more towards older stuff? You're not the only one doing that, but it may be a little harder to find sort of where you fit within the community than if you were doing, say, hip hop or you know, folk or one of these genres that's maybe more modernly appreciated.
Most definitely. There's certainly, you know, sometimes I go to areas and there's a lack of saturation, and I'm in search of this sound that it can sometimes be fleeting.
Sure.
And regionally too, I do definitely bank up a lot of my inspiration on Southern sounds, and specifically the Southern United States. And that's not exclusively though, you know, like a lot of my favorite artists ever have come from, you know, Detroit and Chicago and these sorts of places. I mean, your Prince poster back there. I mean, that's Minnesota born and raised. And I think that I you know, and I'm new to Winnipeg, Manitoba. I haven't lived here for quite so long. I was born in Nova Scotia, in fact. And even when I'm in Nova Scotia, when I'm in the Maritimes, you know, a lot of local artists are banking on this sort of Celtic folk inspired sound. And I have no problem with it, but it's just you know, it never really presented itself to me as an avenue I wanted to follow down. And so I struggle to find like-minded artists, but that's not to say that, you know, it's a problem playing with people or finding other people. There's so many talented artists that understand what I'm trying to go for, understand the vision, everything like that. But I think it presents me with a unique opportunity to insert my own flavor into the city.
Sure.
There's so many talented musicians here and in genres that you wouldn't expect, like the reggae scene, like you mentioned, the hip hop scene in Winnipeg and all of Manitoba. It's fantastic. And just because, yeah, like you said, I'm not making hip hop music or jazz music or something like this. I think that I take a lot of inspiration from a lot of vast, diverse influences. And I like to think that kind of bleeds into these recordings and bleeds into these musicians. So even though I'm not up there rapping, I still hope that you can hear the influence that Jay Dilla has had on me, or hear the influence that Q-Tip has had on me. I think that I was trying to think of every instrument as a rhythmic instrument. That was a principle that was developed very deeply by James Brown. He always kind of felt that everybody in his band was a drum, was a percussion instrument. And it gave birth to, one of the most pioneering artists in funk music. And so I definitely stay in these realms of country and blues music and some elements of soul music as well. But I like to think that the city needs somebody who's got a little stank on them. You know what I mean? Like, got a little seasoning on them. And I think that I'm certainly hoping that I can present an alternative to somebody who's like me, looking for that sound in the city.
Yeah, that's, I mean, hopefully, right? That would be ideal.
Working on a bill, it's a true foundation. I'm holding up a bloodstain, banner for my Lord. And I'll never get tired working on a building. I'm going to heaven, get my reward. You see me out here working, said I'm working on a bill. It's a true foundation, banner for my. I'm going to heaven, get my reward. All right, yes, I am. Yeah, yeah.
on building, holding out the bloodstain, standing for the Lord. And I never get tired from my working on building, 'cause I'm going to heaven, get my reward. Oh, I'm out here working, out here working. See me out here working, I'm out here working.
And I mean, a lot of those genres you mentioned too. I mean, folk music, for example, Winnipeg has a massive folk scene.
Oh, yeah.
And any kind of roots, Americana, country, blues, bluegrass, all that stuff. And it all connects, right? It all connects to sort of some of these genres that you're looking at. But I was going to ask you about the gospel side of things, because, again, it's a genre I don't know too much about. I listen to it, among many other things. But as far as, like, locally, I have no idea what the situation is as far as gospel music. Are there opportunities? I mean, there's a lot of churches around here. Are there opportunities for you to perform that kind of stuff, like, in that sort of setting?
Certainly. A big shout-out goes to Gordy's Coffee House in Elmwood area of the city. It's situated in the Big Red Church, trademark, and they are a fantastic environment where they eat out the hymns I bring in, and it's a blessing. There's so many talented artists that are, which is so funny because a lot of times we think about when I tell people that, you know, I'm really trying to make a thing out of this avenue of music. You know, a lot of people automatically assume that you have to turn into the secular markets. Now, in the context of pop music, that is true. I mean, like, what are we doing here? We're trying to make money. Then, you know, gospel is not going to be what's getting you the ladies at the club. However, there's so many of the most talented artists I've ever met are strictly in the confines of gospel music. And I think that's a really beautiful thing. I'm certainly not strong enough to stay exclusively in there. But, you know, I had the privilege of even going to the No Fun Club, a very buoyant and bountiful studio here in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And I was working with Riley Hill, and we cut two gospel tunes right off the top because we had the session booked, and I had some songs written I wanted to bring in. And, you know, sometimes you wake up that morning, everything's going wrong. You spill your cereal everywhere, and your car doesn't start, this, that, and the other thing. And I just did not feel particularly inspired that morning. I said, you know what? I got to go back to the roots. I'm overcomplicating everything. And the roots to me is, you know, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. And so I came in. I said, Riley, we got to tune it back. And he was game, of course, because he's a very talented individual. And so to do that, I had to kind of get in the nitty gritty in the city, the church musicians, find who's worth talking to, which it turns out to be pretty much everybody, because everyone offers such their unique set of influences and inspirations into their playing.
Sure.
And so even though some of these wouldn't touch secular music with a 10-foot pole, you know, there's still, again, like, even if you don't believe, you don't get along with the messaging of the song, you can feel them when they play. They mean what they're playing, you know,
and
just to see them do their thing, it's been amazing, you know.
So obviously, you know, you've been recording, like you said, you were at No Fun Club, and you got music that's happening. What is sort of the next steps for you here? Like, you know, like you mentioned earlier, you're fairly new to the city, but you've clearly been playing shows, you've been recording, you've been doing all kinds of stuff. I saw an older social media post, looked like you were doing a mini tour around some Manitoba locations a year or two ago. So you're out there, right? You're out there, you're actively making stuff. What is the next step? Is there an album coming, an EP? What's in the cards?
We're certainly, the cogs are turning. Things are happening behind the scenes. I can't even keep up with all of it. But that's a good problem to have, because there's a lot of times I've always looked and, I'm always trying to get more and more and more. And now I got things going on, and people are responding very positively to it. And it's such a blessing again. But we're in the studio. I'm recording with Riley Hill at No Fun Club. We're doing... We're looking to, it looks like we're going to have an EP coming out here I would say end of summer.
Cool.
Going to be some tracks that just kind of introducing who I am to the scene. Again, a lot of that comes back to some hymns. But I'm really trying to take my writing more seriously. It's always been something in my lifetime that I've sort of eschewed. I never really felt I was a great writer. I still struggle to kind of get my ideas on the page. But, you know, in this kind of world, I do have things to say. I mean, you know more than anybody. I've been rambling here for who knows how long. And I've been trying to get some of that into the songs. You know, I have a song that's going to be on the EP. It's called Devil on My TV. And it's kind of, politics has never really been something I've tried to insert myself into too heavily. I just don't think I take myself seriously enough to do so. But then I looked at myself in the mirror. I was like, why is that? You know, I'm experiencing these politics that happen around me, that happen around all of us, just the same as everybody else. And I think that everybody has, not necessarily the burden, the responsibility to use their voice. Now that everyone's platform is different, everyone's medium is different.
Yeah.
But mine just happens to be, I'm blessed to see this big recording studio around me. I'm like, why am I not talking about what matters here? And I know it's not a scathing diss track or anything, but I do feel like I sort of speak what's on my mind and talk about the injustices that are happening, not even to people that look like me per se, but to the people that I know very near and dear very well. And you flick on your TV and you see it go down. I think it is a responsibility of everybody to change the dialogue and change the narrative and speak up. And so, I've been writing a lot, recording a lot, playing a lot of shows. This summer, we're gonna be putting out, like you said, we kind of had a tour last summer. I think it was about 10 shows there. We're going to have something similar this summer. Nothing too massive. Even some festival dates for, I believe, pretty much my first time. We had to select you. And so in Western Canada and Central Canada, we're going to have some festival dates when they're released. It's going to be a really exciting summer. And it's a blessing to just be able to push this bill a little further in a new city and see what people are up to and hopefully throw some things at the wall and see what sticks,
I'm restless without company. You remind me I'm right where I'm supposed to be. What's so sweet, baby? What's so kind? I love you with an affection that lasts longer than the end of time. Singing peaches, cranberry wine. That love you keep giving me sugar, it's got me feeling fine. Trouble, don't come around no more. I don't gotta keep on moving, darling, I found what I'm looking for. Days I just ain't sure. You tell me I'm handsome when I'm feeling insecure. You make me strong, baby, on days I'm feeling weak. You give me the words to sing when I can't find the strength to speak. I'm singing peaches, cranberry wine. That love you keep giving me sugar, it's got me feeling fine. Trouble don't come round no more. I don't gotta keep on moving, darling, I found what I'm looking for. I don't gotta keep on moving, baby, I found what I'm looking for.
One of the best things about the Winnipeg music scene is it seems, for the most part, to be extremely welcoming to people who are doing whatever. Like, I mean, I have people on the show who do the most out there, like, experimental, weird shit, and they get welcomed in, like, from people who are in just sort of straight ahead rock bands. They love that stuff too. It seems like it's very much, like, the amount of people I've had on the show over the years who have been in each other's bands is crazy. It's a very tight-knit community, but it seems very welcoming. Have you felt that?
Oh man, the first thing I saw when I got here was the Friendly Manitoba license plate. And I was that, and I'm coming from Nova Scotia, where a lot of people revere our hospitality. I was like, all right, we'll see, buddy. Like whatever you think. And when I started to, you know, you show up and you're just like, all right, hey man, like, you mind if I sit in on a couple songs? And I'm used to just being like, God, get out of here, bud. And it's the complete opposite here. Man, people are the nicest, most welcoming, hospitable. I can't quite think of all the synonyms, but normally when you get that, they're hospitable for a reason. They want to get off that stage, man. They can't make a noise if it was all given to them. But these guys are some of the most talented individuals that there are. Man, shout out Lady Lee, too, in the Blue Noise Band. She's given me a stage about 3 times.
Cool.
And she just tells me to go willy-nilly, go wild, because she understands how badly I want it. And I can't always supplement that with the talent, but I'm here to learn.
Right.
I'm here to look at the masters, to look at the keeper of the keys, as it is here in the city, and learn from them, learn how they feel of things, how they're feeling translated into what they play, and so on. And so I can't thank everyone enough for, first of all, just being my buddy, but also being a helping hand and being a teacher and a mentor in a lot of cases, because this music thing, the art in all its forms, is a never-ending learning journey, and you never can quite encapsulate everything that you have inside of you in one, whatever your medium is, one painting, one song, etc. But the more you see, the more content you take in from your chosen medium, it always kind of impacts your vision, and everything constantly fluctuates. And so I say all that to say, when I got here to the city, I was bombarded with all these new sounds, these new influences. And it can be a little overwhelming at times, but all these people that there's too many to even name here, but all these people have really taken my hand and coached me through and opened my mind, in a sense, to new possibilities, what my musicality, my artistry could reach. And so, again, I'm not up here shredding a guitar solo, and you know, my voice could always use some work, et cetera, but I know that I'm surrounded by people that are looking for my best interest. And that is truly, for a guy like that's just fighting for it like me, that really wants it, really believes in what can go down around here, it is the utmost blessing.
Cool. And then the good thing about this being a podcast, right, is someone could hear it the day it comes out, in which case you still have all this music that's sort of to be happening in the next few months in the future. You got, you know, tours and shows and things happening, but someone could also hear it a year from now, and by then you got an EP out, probably you're maybe doing bigger shows. What's the best way for someone listening, whenever they're listening, to find out more information about what you're up to? First of all, hear your music, and then secondly, find out about upcoming shows and things like that.
For sure. You can go to my, and I'm gonna say right now, technology is not my strong suit. I even struggled to join the Zoom. But my website, God willing, will always be up there, irvinmiller.com. That is irvinmiller.com. I'm also on Instagram at irvinjoemiller. And, you know, I try and keep my thumb on the pulse here, gang. So anywhere, any new social medias that open up into the future, we can revisit this in a year and take inventory. I'm going to do my best to be on there as well. But Irvin Miller, man, remember the name.
Yeah.
Girl, I don't mind. My woman, so can't take up all my talking.